Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I am your host, Austin Peterson. Today's Wednesday, June the 11th. Welcome back to the show, Ian Hewitt.
Good to be here.
Ian, today we're going to talk a little bit about gun control. Obama came out in praise of Australia's gun confiscation measures. Speaking to users of the blogging platform Tumblr, President Obama praised Australia's confiscation of firearms. This is from the National Review. Obama said a couple of decades ago that Australia had a mass shooting similar to Columbine or Newtown, and Australia just said, well, that's it. We're not seeing that again, and basically imposed very severe, tough gun laws, and they haven't had a mass shooting since. Our levels of gun violence are off the charts. There's no advanced, developed country that would put up with this. In other words, the President of the United States praised a government for forcefully removing all of the semi-automatic firearms from its citizens.
Right, Austin, the most obvious takeaway here is that Australia's gun control policy is one of mass confiscation. So that is a policy that clearly does not comport with the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. It could not be passed in the United States. It would be illegal. Liberals are fond of saying, when we talk about gun control, no one wants to take away all your guns. No one wants mass confiscation. That's just a straw man. Mm-hmm. We just want some basic checks. Well, here President Obama is, and I think most progressives would agree with him, saying that Australia's gun control policy is far superior and we should emulate it. Well, that policy is one of mass confiscation. It's exactly the program you say you don't want, and it's one that would be unconstitutional here in the U.S.
Well, you said you made a great point before the podcast that I'd like you to extrapolate on here about the fact that it would also just be practically impossible to ban firearms in the United States. Now, why was it possible in Australia versus here in the United States?
Right, and I'll also point out Australia does not have a First Amendment either. You can go to jail for expressing an opinion in Australia. Mm. So I think if I learned one thing from studying abroad for a semester in Australia, it's that Americans far too easily draw analogies between the U.S. and other countries where those analogies don't really exist. Australia to the U.S. is a huge apples to oranges comparison. So for example, our immediate neighbor to the north, our hat, is Canada, which is just like a more polite version of the United States. Australia's immediate neighbor to the north is Indonesia, mm-hmm. which has a problem with suicide bombings and car bombings. Just further to the north than that is India and China, which are obviously two competing powers. So when I took a national security class in Australia, I took it actually from Peter Lay, who's the former chief of the Army of Australia. He had a section where he talked about what are the possible existential threats to Australia. You can't even imagine in an American national security class people asking what are the possible existential threats to America. You would just, it would be a joke. No American thinks there's existential threats to the country. Mm-hmm. So their politics is fundamentally different from ours. Something else that you would like, I think, is the word liberal there, the way the word liberal is used. If you say, I am for liberal democracy in Australia, you're saying, I'm against social democracy. Liberal essentially means classical liberal.
It means what we like. You want
to limit the size of government. So I had a very progressive political science professor, and she would rant about those damn liberals and how they want people to starve in the streets. It was great.
That is cool.
You would
story.
Have loved it. So this, the practical point.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to set up here is that it's just fundamentally different. You can't draw neat parallels between the U.S. and Australia. In Australia, there's two reasons why Australia has incredibly secure borders. One is that Australia is a giant island, So there's the geographical issue. It's surrounded by ocean. It's much easier to cross a land border than to, you know, get somewhere on a boat. The other reason is a political one. If I say in the US, we need to secure our borders to an audience, everyone will assume I'm espousing a position on immigration, and half of the people will be receptive to that, and half of the people will be hostile to it. And probably rightly so. It's probably fair of them to assume I'm espousing a position on immigration. But in Australia, remember I mentioned they're surrounded by these potential existential threats. Those are two different issues. Border security and immigration, people see them as totally different. Everyone in Australia, across the political spectrum, very welfare state progressives who want to just welcome in everyone, very stringent conservatives, everyone agrees that Australia should have strong border security. You would see, you know, in the airport, like propaganda signs saying, you know, Australia securing our borders. Just in much the same way everyone agrees gun control is a good policy in Australia, including the so-called conservatives, you know, according to American standards, the Liberal Party there. So everyone agrees border security is great. We need to have tons of that. It's also an island. As a consequence, they have virtually impenetrable borders. And so when the government bans something like guns or gun components, that stuff doesn't get into the country. So as a result of Australia's tough gun control policies, it's just as hard for criminals to get firearms as law-abiding people. That would not be practical in the United States. You can purchase a firearm illegally if you decide you want one.
Fantastic. Now, the one of the main sticking points in the gun control debate here is the false narrative that gun violence is on the increase, when in reality, the Department of Justice even reported last year that the majority of Americans believe that gun violence is increasing, it's in fact dropping. We are actually at a 20-year low with gun violence. But the president always points to the evidence. He uses anecdotal evidence. Shootings in Newtown, or he uses Columbine, for example, or even the shooting, the Elliot Rodger story, the recent Isla Vista shootings out in California, and then there was a school shooting in Oregon just yesterday. And so you look at those incidents and you say to yourself, oh my gosh, gun violence is going crazy, it's happening all the time. But when you actually look at it, put everything on a chart and compare it, we're actually at a 20-year low. But I think that people just respond emotionally to gun violence, you know, where they don't respond emotionally to someone going on a mass stabbing spree, such as the Chinese Uyghur assault attack that happened in China.
Well, if it happened here, they would respond emotionally to it.
Well, they would.
And they'd probably advocate for more government controls also.
But what kind of controls could you have against knife violence? You know what I mean? Like, people would ask for, what, like 6-inch restrictions on knives, perhaps?
Well, you ridiculous? Could have, you know, some sort of, it should be mandatory in public schools for teachers to profile their students mm-hmm. and keep mental health files on everyone, something like that.
Now, let me ask you a question, Ian. Mm-hmm. What's the libertarian case against background checks for firearms?
Well, they could be abused. Mm-hmm. That's the libertarian case against a part of the libertarian case against most any expansion of government. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, one thing the government could potentially reasonably do is say that we, in our background checks, want to preclude anyone who's involved in domestic terrorism, and then define domestic terrorism as being involved with political dissident groups. Mm-hmm. That would be very easy for the government to do. Not hard to imagine that happening in the near future at
right,
all.
Right.
Especially with some of the abuses we've seen after 9/11 and some of the government's targeting of its political opponents.
Right. Take a look at that guy, the Las Vegas shooter, him and his wife, Jared and Amanda Miller, who we were talking about on the podcast yesterday. What if the government wanted to say, well, we're going to start restricting firearms to people who have a history, criminal history, because he had stolen a car, right? He had a car theft in his past, and then he had expunged from his record, so he's allowed to own firearms, Nevada being a very lax state.
Well, here's what you might do. You might say, okay, all the Bundy protesters have applied for a permit, mm-hmm. and we've denied them all because they have ties with domestic terrorists. Well,
right.
That's technically true. They also kicked these people out because they thought they were nuts. They kicked the shooters out. Mm-hmm. But you could say, well, there's a connection there, so better safe than sorry. All we're doing is combating terrorism. Mm-hmm. You can keep going with this and really defeat the entire purpose of the Second Amendment, according to Thomas Jefferson, which was to be a check on tyranny. Mm-hmm. It was written by men who'd just thrown off an oppressive government, and they foresaw a day in the future when their descendants might need to do the same.
You said something earlier, you know, about liberals. They say, oh, they try and set up a straw man. They say, no one wants to take your guns.
Right, well, they accuse us of setting up a straw man when we speak against gun confiscation, and then they say, look how great Australia's policy is. We should have that policy of gun confiscation.
Right, because the thing is that when they say no one wants to take your guns, that's a lie. I mean, like, that is right. Such a lie.
I mean, it's obviously
they absolutely
not true.
Do want to take all of our guns.
And then, like, 2 minutes later, they'll argue for why no one needs a gun, really, unless right. you're in the military or the police.
Right, right, yeah. right. You know, there's an interesting debate topic, something that we've brought up before. That people yelled at us because we called something an assault rifle. And this is a debate that's going on mostly on the right, something that we discuss quite often here at the Libertarian Republic about whether or not we should be calling these guns assault rifles. Now, it's been more of a modern movement in the last, like, 10, 15 years that people have started to sort of grate at calling something an assault rifle. They're like, well, why don't you call it called an assault knife? And some of these people are ignorant of the actual definition of assault rifles historically, which has been a gun with a magazine or a clip. It's a long gun with a magazine or clip that has a, not just a semi-automatic, but also is fully automatic. It has a what's the word for the...
I mean, I think what's happened here is that progressives have made the distinction so arbitrary and so political that it seems like an absurd one to draw at all to some conservatives. But there is historically a consistent definition that is just objective, which is the one you were using.
A selective fire rifle that uses an intermediate cartridge and a detachable magazine.
There we go. Now, and that was our intention in using the term assault rifle. Right. I think what happened is some people just read too far into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe we should change the way we frame the debate and use different terms. That's mm-hmm. a debate that we should be willing
right.
to have.
Right, this was when we were discussing those two guys carrying guns.
Right, but obviously you and I were not advocating for banning quote-unquote assault rifles.
Right, some people were saying that we were, like you're like
just because we were saying assault. Yeah,
right, because we were saying assault rifles that were using the liberals' language and stuff like that. Well, you know, in order to take over terms, you have to understand you've got to use certain terms. But, you know, liberals took over the word liberal away from us, the true liberals, who are far more freedom, liberal meaning the root, meaning liberty, and we libertarians understand and identify with that word. But to call something an assault rifle, I think, you know, I would probably argue that it's better for us not to call it that, even if it is an exact term. And even if I have used it in the past, I haven't used it erroneously so much, but I would like to suggest that maybe calling something an assault rifle is a bad idea, just from a perspective of PR. What do you think?
Well, regardless of what kind of guns Obama has previously said he'd like to ban, mm-hmm. look at how absent guns are from Australian society.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to some Australian girls while I was there, and one of them asked me if I'd ever fired a gun before,
mm-hmm.
and it was like she was asking me if I'd ever used a lightsaber before. Like, it would just be the coolest thing in the world if I'd ever fired a gun. These people just haven't seen a gun before, people in our generation. That's how absent firearms are from Australian society, and that's how absent President Obama would like them to be from our society. But it's going to continue to be possible to purchase illegal firearms in the United States, and in fact, regardless of what our policy is on border security, because they're still going to get in.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, well, what do you ladies and gentlemen think? Do you guys think that Obama wants to take our guns? I'm curious, so why don't you send us an email, go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and tell us what you guys think about this story. Do you think that they are setting up a straw man when we say that they want to take away all of our guns? Send us an email, go to thelibertarianrepublic.com, subscribe to us on Stitcher, or find us on iTunes. If you really like the podcast, do us a favor, give us 5 stars on iTunes, leave us a good review, that helps us out quite a bit. We really appreciate you guys listening. Thanks very much. And don't forget to come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.com.